and say that. But it begins somewhere. And it begins with listening to the world. And there's many topics we can choose from. But right now the world's telling us to not to spank your children. And as a young parent, that's heavy on my heart. That's what I'm battling right now with young children. And many of you are as well. Don't spank your children. Time out is better. Reasoning is better. Therapy is better. Let's call it some kind of disorder because they're hyper. Everything sounds reasonable. Almost believable. There are doctors doing this. Doctors writing these letters. Doctors writing these books. They should be listened to, right? They make it sound good. They make it sound right. They make it sound logical. That's not God's law. And we can use anything, insert your own scenario, but we begin to listen. And that's the first thing that goes, is reading the newspaper, reading the books, reading the internet about how to raise your children. Sometimes the world is funny. We become entertained with television, with movies, with people at school, at work, the jokes they tell, the things they do. They're funny. Sometimes we laugh when we should find it disgusting. And it continues on. We become friends with the world. We enjoy their company. They're not that bad. I'm doing them good. I'm doing them good by just being there. And we listen and we rationalize. We fall in love with the world. We begin not to think spiritually. We have impure thoughts. It has been a week, it has been a month before or since I've prayed to God. God is no longer part of my thoughts. We cannot let this world stain our image, stain our good name. And it takes effort. It takes effort. In Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do we believe this? That we're associated, if we approve, if we condone these type of things, we will not reach the kingdom of heaven. It says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. That means it's plain to see. That means it's evident. It's in front of us. It's night and day. It's righteous and wicked. It's black and white. Those who are in this stage, that cannot control their human nature, do not renew their minds and are depraved. We continue to be like those people. In this state, we cannot possibly be saved, is what we're saying. It takes effort. It takes a desire to change. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 21. Romans 14 and verse 21. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. That's in a whole lot of passages there. But it proves my point. To keep yourself unstained, to maintain a good name, we must not put stumbling blocks in front of others. We are not to be a hindrance to anyone's Christianity. Here it's talking about meat, eating of meats and drinking of wines, because it's good not to. But it could be anything. I mean, I can throw out any type of scenarios that offends the conscience of one, but others might be okay with it. And we understand that in the concept in the Bible. But simple movie. They're controversial. One doesn't mind. One is uncomfortable. Don't see the movie. a restaurant where they serve alcohol. That's a problem. Some uncomfortable, some not. Don't go to the restaurant. And I make it too easy, but oftentimes we put it in their court, their problem. They got some issues. We can talk about the length of skirt. Controversy. Don't wear the skirt. It's not always other people's problem. We don't want to put a hindrance on anyone. Anyone's Christianity. To maintain your good name. To maintain that respect. In Hebrews chapter 13, beginning verse 15. Hebrews 13, beginning verse 15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips, and give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for that such sacrifice as God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. We must be obedient to one who rules over us. This is not talking about political leaders, it's talking about religious leaders, the eldership. We're to listen, we're to be obedient. We are not to go against the grain. We are not to pull at the rope in a different way. We must show the proper respect. We must submit to their authority in the church. We are not to be rebellious. We are to be obedient. In Matthew chapter 7. Discussing the tree that produces fruit. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 17. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear the good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So that you will know them by their fruits. A tree is known by our fruit. We are known by our works. We are known by what we do and how we act. That's how we are known. We will produce good works. If we produce wickedness or evil or worldly, we are to be tossed in the fire. That's God saying this. What if we bear no fruit? What if we're just complacent? We're not bad, but we're not acting upon our faith either and producing good fruit. I've gone through a Proverbs class that discusses wickedness and righteousness without gray. It's cut and dry. You're producing, you're not producing as far as fruit, as far as works. The scriptures single out some people who have great names. Abraham, for instance, in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1, discusses Abraham. Now the man had relations with his wife, Eve. That is not it. Chapter 12. Yeah. What are the odds of that? Genesis chapter 12. Beginning verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth, as the Lord has spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. No one can give us a great name for what we do, and who we are, and how we act makes our name great. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, Abram was obedient to God. Chapter 12, verse 7 through 8, he built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. In chapter 13, verse 7 through 9, allowed Lot to choose his land first. In chapter 14, verses 14 through 16, he rescued Lot and their relatives. Chapter 18, verse 19, chosen to bring up the household to live righteously. In chapter 18, verse 23 through 33, he's trying to save the righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. In chapter 22, the verse 12 verses, he was willing to offer his only son as a sacrifice to the Lord. Things that made Abraham great was his great works that came from his great faith. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and I won't read it, but it says his name was highly esteemed. David was being eyed by a jealous king who resented the praise of Israel because he slayed Goliath. He was bitter towards David. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 and 46, David has made himself a great name, though that was not his objective. He gave glory to God for his accomplishments. Killing Goliath, he gave glory to God for what he did. People do not make their name great by having greatness as their objective. Three times in 1 Samuel 18, the Bible stated that David behaved himself wisely. He acted correctly. He was determined not to give King Saul any good reason to accuse him. And that's what we do. We don't want to give anyone any good reason why they should doubt what we believe. In Genesis, in chapter 11, Genesis chapter 11, starting verse 1. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the Son of Man had built. The Lord said, behold, they are the people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, the name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. A number of people who are determined to make a name for themselves got together. That was their objective. Let us make for us a name. Did the people glorify God in this action? No, they didn't. Did they seek God's help? No, they didn't. And Babel is not a name you want to be representing or to come from, which means confusion. Many things can happen to one's name. In Psalms 109, verse 13, let his posterity be cut off. In the following generation, let their name be blotted out. In Luke chapter 6, verse 22, blessed are you when men hate you, and ostracize you, and insult you, and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. They're persecuted for false accusations. Things can happen to our name. What did the enemies of Jesus associate his name to? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, the man cast out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Is that true? No, it's not true. False accusations. Matthew chapter 27, verse 63. Sir, remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I am to rise again. In Matthew chapter 26, and verse 59 through 68, they called Jesus a blasphemer. They mocked and ridiculed his name. Also people were held in high esteem. Joseph, we understand Joseph and the story of Joseph. We understand that that Joseph, Pharaoh put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Ended up being second in command. In 2 Samuel 7 verse 9, God made a covenant with David. I will make you a great name of the great men who are on the earth. Also with Daniel, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 46 and 48. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. And he made him ruler of the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And of course, lastly, the name above all names in Jesus Christ. The apostles come to love that name. They preached in His name. They healed the sick in His name. They baptized in His name. They prayed in His name. They did all in His name. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when the time came that the enemies despised His name, His disciples suffered for it as well. They were imprisoned, they were scolded, they were beaten for preaching in the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus told the apostles, you will be hated by all because of My name. But it is the one who has endured to the end will be saved. In Philippians chapter 2, we're coming to a close. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God highly exalted Jesus above all names. The name which is above every name, the name which every knee will bow. To belong to that name, to be associated with that name, as we all are, is an honor. It's a privilege. It was an honor back when they instituted the first church, the first congregation. It's an honor in Oklahoma City today. It's an honor to wear the name of Christ. And how are we living and how are we honoring? How are we wearing the name of Christ? Are we living like our name is associated with Christ? Are we living like we belong to that name? Are we living as Christ would live? Are we caring? Are we compassionate? Are we kind? Are we doing good? Bearing fruit? The lesson is yours this morning. We'll close at this time with a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to our classes.
Be with us always. God, guard and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.